Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayer for attention to Matthew chapter 10, the chapter we read, and verse 8, the last part of verse 8. These words, freely ye have received, freely give. The whole verse, or the context, if we read from verse 7, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey. It is these verses then, or these words, freely ye have received, freely give. It is obvious the literal sending out is not to be repeated in that way. God has sent his servants to preach the word, but after the apostles, he has not given that same power, those same signs, that for the scripture days and days of the apostles is to have that power to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. It's very evident in the New Testament church under the apostles that all men noticed the great power that was bestowed upon the apostles. And they noticed as well that the same miracles of healing and raising the dead that our Lord did. They never took that power to themselves, but said that God had given them the power, and that it was through the Lord Jesus Christ that they made those whole that were whole. Our Lord, when he ascended up into heaven, was seen by his disciples. They saw him ascend. And we think of when Elijah was taken up into heaven and Elisha desired a double portion of that spirit that he had. And the sign that was given, it was said it was a hard thing that was asked. But if thou see me when I am taken, then it shall be so. And Elisha did see Elijah taken up, and the power then rested on him. And you can actually count, I think you'll find Elijah did some 8 miracles and Elisha twice as many, 16. And our Lord said to his disciples when he was on earth, that greater things shall ye do because I ascend unto my Father. And truly with the apostles, greater deeds, greater miracles were done than that with our Lord. Our Lord never in preaching the gospel, of course it was before he suffered and then rose again, and before he commissioned his disciples and before the Holy Spirit was given, but in that special way. But our Lord never, though he fed 5,000, he didn't have 5,000 believe, truly converted and followers of him. The great difference with the apostles as they went forth and preached Christ not dead, but risen and ascended, and that power was that thousands believed. Miracles of grace, and along with that, the miracles of healing and raising from the dead that many associated with the Lord. They'd only known that with the Lord, and now they're finding it with those that are bearing witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. And so we think of the disciples going forth at this time. They were given a power, they were given a commission, and what the Lord had given them, that power to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, he says of them, ye freely receive this power. You have received this ability. In one sense, you receive this commission, then you freely give what you have received. And the very context, he's not saying give out gold and give out silver and give material things and earthly things, because he immediately says, don't provide any gold and silver. So what you are freely have given and what you're freely are going to give is not material things, not things of earth, although we notice later that one effect of the believing is to loosen the hands of the Lord's people in giving. But the emphasis here is on those things that are given here, which is the powers that were given them. But I want to look at it in a gospel sense, in that of which God's dear children receive from the Lord, and that then they also give. And I want then first to think of this word freely that is in both parts of the text. Freely ye have received, freely give. And I think if we really understand what the actual word means and the various ways it can be looked at, it can be a great encouragement to a seeker, a great encouragement to the Lord's people that have received, as well as to those that are looking to receive, and great encouragement to impart what the Lord has given to us as we may be able to. The first thought of freely is something that is without cost. If you make something available that is free, you're not going to charge for it. It is without money, without price. And the gospel is that. It's a beautiful way it's set forth in Isaiah, and it is the free gift of heaven. It is not purchased in any way. Our Lord had those come to him and ask him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It is not what shall I do. It's what Christ has done and what he freely gives. And I'd say to those of you that may seek here, you're seeking that which is free. It is without money, without price. So that is the first thought of the freely. The second idea is this, that it is not stinted, that it is very copious or a generous amount. If you distribute something freely, then it's not just in small amounts. It's in a great way. And truly again, the gospel is in that way. It is the fullness of God, and the Lord doesn't hold back. I want to think of that where Moses was forbidden to go into the promised land because he was told not to smite the rock. He'd already done that. He's told to speak to it. And he smote it twice and he said, must I bring you water out of this rock, ye rebels? And the Lord said he did not sanctify him in the presence of the congregation. You imagine a pastor saying to his flock, because he thinks that they're rather rebels, must I preach the word to you? Must I bring the gospel to you today? Is that the way the Lord would want the gospel to be proclaimed? The Lord does it freely to rebels, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. It is not begrudgingly. It is freely. And we read after that, even though Moses dealt like that, the water came out copiously, as if the Lord would say, Moses, that's your spirit, but this is my spirit. Here's the water. Freely. So when we think of words in our text, freely, and that way. Large petitions with thee bring. Thou art coming to a king. None can ever ask too much. The fullness, freeness. And then we think, not under control of another. It'd be a solemn thing if in this land we couldn't meet freely. That laws were passed that you mustn't meet like this, or you mustn't preach the word. If we were in Russia or China, or Russia as it, you know, where they used to and still have the state churches, you can meet and you can preach, but it must be within these guidelines. You can say this, you can say that, but you're not free to preach the whole gospel. When we think of this word freely receiving, is not under the power or authority of any other. And if when we think of the gospel is that which we are receiving as sinners, our Lord is not being influenced by someone else, not by Satan, not by good works or bad works. What he gives is freely for his own will and purpose, not influenced by any other. And it is a great blessing for us to have freedom in this land. But we think of in the practical way, when the apostles went forth preaching and they preached the gospel, they did have those that were trying to tell them not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they refused to bow to that. We cannot but preach those things. We have freely received this, and we are freely going to give it. We're not going to be influenced. We're not going to be in bondage. We're going to be as free men to preach as the Lord has given us to preach, and with the liberty of preaching as we should. And in this context, may we remember that as seekers and remember that as ministers, that what we have received is freely, we give us freely, not being influenced by men. We have one Master, one Lord, one word that we bring. Another aspect with freely is that which is voluntarily or willingly. It is not forced. The Lord is never forced to bless a people. Yes, you might say we take him, or take the throne of God by force in prayer. And that is according to his own will. I will for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. But what he does is freely. And so with his people as well. It is to be a free will offering. It was in the Old Testament. That which is given was to be given in a full, voluntary and free way. Those that come and make confession to the Church of God of what God has given them, what they have freely received, will come freely, voluntarily. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will tell what he has done for my soul. They're not pressured into it. They're not coerced into it. It is freely given, willingly. And so there's these aspects. You might be able to think of others as well. That when we just read this word, freely ye have received, freely give. It's not just in one sense. There's many aspects that really illustrate something of what the gospel is. And may just this point give perhaps some further meditation later on this point. There are some things that a believer receives that he can never pass on. There are many things that he can or can have that counterpart, as in our text, freely have received, freely give. But every one of God's people are given by the Lord eternal life. They are given that. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Thank you. Yeah, I have got another glass here, but that's good, thank you. We cannot impart, though we may be the means of giving life to another, and God uses his servants as he sends forth his servants. We have not power to give that eternal life, but God can. And so we need to remember that, as it were. We cannot give grace. The means of grace are what we meet this evening, but the minister cannot impart grace to his hearers. And in one sense, it's a great comfort to know that. If the Lord has given you eternal life, if the Lord has awakened your soul, if he has given grace, saving grace, or grace to help in time of need, you know that has not come from man. That has not even come, you might say, through means, because God has given that directly. It's something that he has left it his prerogative to give, that everyone that receives life receives it directly from him. I give unto them eternal life. I do. My hand. My life I give for the life of the world. And that's realized in the individual cases of every one of his dear people. It's not handed down, as it were, second hand. Is from the Lord's hand. And life and grace, we receive that but cannot pass that on. If we would be mindful of being able to do the second part of our text, the giving, then we need the first part first. And we spoke this afternoon about Mary and Martha. Martha so busied. The Lord was in the house, but she deprived herself of sitting at the feet of the Lord and hearing his word. Deprived of receiving. And those of us in the ministry here, it cannot all be giving out, giving out. There must be a receiving. There must be a replenishing. Sometimes it can be through, like the services here, something I don't say, or something that I say leads your thoughts to another meditation and opening up, or a feeding upon what each one feeds upon here today. Not for the ministry, but for your own soul. It struck me years ago, and it was when my dear one was ill, so often used to be the one at the school gates with the children, and the local vicar, he had his children there, and he had bowel cancer. And so, as he put it, he was off work. He was not in the church. So I said to him one day, I said, Martin, I said, do you ever go? Do you go to the church? Do you just go as a hearer? He said, oh, no, he said. No, he said, I wouldn't go to work. He said, they wrote me in to do some things. I said, where do you go to get spiritual food for your own soul? And he looked at me utterly puzzled and blank. What on earth are you saying? And then he said, well, he says, sometimes I go to a neighbouring parish. He said, to get some ideas for what to preach next time when I'm back in. He said, I don't know, he said, how they listen to you for 40 minutes. He said, they won't listen to me for 10 minutes. But poor man seemed to have no idea. And I wish I had been quick and said, well, you know, if you don't need to get food for your souls, what are the people coming for? What are they listening for? You know, all of us, whether we are a preacher or whether we're part of the congregation, we all need food for our souls. We need to receive first. And in one sense, even if we're not a preacher, there's still a freely giving, as I hope we mention a bit later. So maybe be those who think of, what are we receiving? That is vital first. Freely ye have received. Can we add to that and say, freely I have received? You know, when we were young, we were taught the usual grace for what we are about to receive. My small mind, I used to think it was one great big word, you know, for what we are about to receive. One great big long word. I didn't really understand it. That's why, I don't ever use that grace. I try and pray so that we can feel and know, and sometimes, well, most times, really, I give thanks to the Lord's time. Why ask to give? It has to be given a thankful heart if you already feel one. If you feel a thankful heart already, then give thanks. Don't ask for a thankful heart. You got it. You received it. That it is a mindfulness. Here we are about to receive something. But what an expectation if you and I came into the Lord's house this evening and our prayer was, Lord, for what we are about to receive. And that expectation that we were going to receive something from the Lord. Well, I want to look at several points. And what a believer has freely received and is to then freely give. And again, I would say encouragement to those that are seekers, those who are seeking the Lord, don't rule yourselves out. If I speak in terms of those that have received, because it is encouragement to think, well, if these have received, and they've received in that way, may not I? Really, everyone that has received points to those that haven't as yet, that this provision is also for you. So the first thought is mercy. Mercy. Freely ye have received, freely give. The mercy of the Lord is freely given. That really is the fountain of all that is bestowed upon a sinner. The Lord told of the publican and the Pharisee in the temple. And the publican, how he beat upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And our Lord said he went down to his house justified rather than the other. Mercy can never be deserved. It cannot be bought. This is speaking of that which is free, and mercy is free. If we have received free mercy, then may we also be prepared to show it to others in a practical way. Where those cannot or do not deserve, and we think, well, they are indebted to us, may we also delight in mercy, the There will be those times in our lives that we can actually illustrate the mercy that we have received. Freely ye have received, and freely give. But what about the Word of God? Freely ye have received. In some sense, we try to give out the Word. It struck me with the last AGM at the TBS that they said how that sometimes they give direct grants, free Bibles. Other times they have them bought at reduced price, which is what we're doing at Cranbrook, buying the Bibles and then giving them out freely. And they made the point that nearly all the Bibles that go from TBS, a large percentage end up, in the end, given freely to the person that receives it. And yes, we might have individuals, those of us who like a Bible, and we go to the website and we might buy one directly for ourselves. But many, many are given out freely. At Cranbrook, we've been greatly encouraged. The amount is increasing month by month. September, 112 Bibles, and so far in October, 125 requested right through the UK. And that is a lot of Bibles that have been and are being distributed freely. But what a blessing to receive the Word, even literally, to be given that Word. And the Word of God is, it is not bound, it is not to be withheld. There are many nations that do not have the Word, not in their own tongue, or perhaps many people that don't have the means of buying it, or many that do not know the value of it. And I think in many of those that we give, I think, well, the people actually probably could afford a Bible quite easily. If they had the priorities right and they knew the value, they would buy a Bible. But they don't know the value. They might, just out of curiosity, take it, or just because it's free. And the prayer is that having received it, and the leaflets that we put with it, the Lord will bless that to them, and that then they will value it, and they will maybe want to buy a more larger print Bible, maybe one with a margin in it as well. But it's a blessed thing to receive the Word, and if we have received it, and to not just the literal Word, but receiving the words. The Lord gave the Word, great was the company of them that published it. And when the Word is preached, as we do this evening, you're receiving that Word. And the apostles made it very clear that they, especially with those of the Corinthians, where they had opposition, that they preached that Word freely. That it would be never laid to their charge that actually this is just a money-making exercise. The context here, they were to go out without money, without anything, but they were to go out and preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that word that we have then is a free word. I think today there's never more freely that word that is spread forth. And my mind was going earlier on during the sermon when thinking of the harvest, how things have changed over the years. In days gone by, you'd see a field being harvested and that, you know, 20 or 30 men would be working with the threshing machines and cutting and with the scythes and very, very labour intensive. Now you get one man on a combine harvester and he feels very lonely. He's just doing all of the work and he's got all of the tools. And I was thinking of the harvest and the preaching of the word and how different it is today. in the days of our forefathers, if you were preaching here this evening, it would only be your congregation here that was hearing the word. And yet we're relaying this sermon audio, it would be worldwide. And is like the one man on his combine. But actually he's like, as it were, ministers spread all around the world saying the same message at the same time. And they're all hearing the word. The word hasn't changed. The miracle of grace hasn't changed. The blessings, the gift that God does through it. But the means of spreading the word and hearing the word. Today, they are everywhere and available electronically. We should never substitute that for the actual Bible, the written word, but they are means whereby the word is given, and it is so free. And yet we realize the utter dependence upon the Lord himself conveying that word, giving it. My word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the thing whereto I sent it. And it goes then more away from the literal word, away from even the preached word, and you see the Lord sending that word into the hearts so that men and women receive the word of God. I'm talking in the interval, and I said with sorrow, thinking of the days of my unregeneracy when I was the age of some of your children here, and I had no desire for the things of God. And I just used to sit in the house of God on the Lord's Day. And I'd plan the whole week. My mind had just shut off the word of preaching. And it was full of my engineering or the car that I was working on and doing this and that and the other. And I just heard nothing. Whatever was read in the preaching, whatever was said, it would not have got through till the Lord opened my ear, gave me a real need, an aching void and desire and longing. It's a great blessing to be given a hearing ear, to be given a willingness to listen. You know, in schools, to have students that actually want to learn and that want to listen. And if the Lord has given you that, and your prayer is that you want the Lord to speak to you through the word, value that. The Lord gives that hearing ear. Mine ear hath he opened. That's another free gift, isn't it? To hear the word of God. Another aspect is knowledge or understanding. That key parable of the Lord, which is the parable of the sower. I don't know how many of you have noticed, but the first ground, the stony ground, or the wayside here, that where it was taken away straight out of their hearts, it was where they received the word, but they did not understand it. And the fruitful one, the other end of it, that fell into good ground, they received the word and understood it. And the great contrast is between not understanding and understanding. And the Apostle Paul said, I would rather speak 5 words with the understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. With the disciples, when the Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to them in the upper room. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. In their understanding, they were given the knowledge of the word of God. It actually profited them. It helped them. And thinking of the word of our text, freely have received, freely give. That understanding we have is to be imparted. I've always applied this in my secular work when I was in engineering. I had a lesson early on when I was in my early 20s working for a plumbing firm, and they introduced computers into the firm. And they had the computer firm teach one of the accountants how to use this computer package. It was for the accountancy. And the idea was that he then would teach everyone else. But he thought, I'm going to guard my position. Everyone will have to come to me to know how to use this computer. And he kept the knowledge to himself, and he wouldn't impart it. The boss's reaction, sacked him on the spot. And you know, I've always had this thought, if I know something, and I've got understudies or people working for me, never have the thought, if I tell him enough, he's going to take my job. He's brighter than me anyway. He picks up things so quick, so I'm not going to tell him, I'll guard my position. No. I impart as much as I can and freely give it. Freely have received, freely give. And it's a principle I've found really helpful right through my employment. And for you young people who go into whatever your work is, whatever you do, if you're a teacher, especially so, but in many ways you'll have those coming up underneath you, impart what you know, and especially in the things of God. A parent to a child, a grandparent to their children, impart what you know. Again, when we came over to this land, we'd only been over a little while, and my son was about five, and I had a real nightmare one night. Came downstairs, felt so churned up I couldn't sleep. I really had to make it a matter of prayer, and then the Lord was pleased to give me a restful night's sleep. A week later, my son had the same thing, and he was really distressed, couldn't sleep. And you know, my conscience said, you tell him what you did, how you prayed, how you got to sleep. No, said another voice, he's only five, he won't understand, don't tell him. I thought, no, the reason why I had this, why I received that, so I can impart to him, so tell him. So I did. And we had a time of prayer together, and in the morning he said, Dad, he said, I prayed in my bedroom. And he said, I had a good night's sleep. Do you know, if the Lord shows something to you in a path, and you have a brother, sister in faith, whatever it is, and you see them in the same trial, the same path, the same difficulty, freely you have received, freely give, impart that which the Lord has shown has been a help, a strength to you. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Then there's forgiveness. Have we received forgiveness of the Lord? It's one of the things the Lord mentions in the pattern of prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that we forgive those as we have been forgiven. Forgive those that trespass against us. May we remember that, freely forgiven. He frankly forgave them both. Freely. Forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ is exalted to give repentance and remission of sins unto Israel. Give. Freely give. And repentance is the sign and evidence of it. Some people, they say, I want to hear from the Lord, like the Lord said to the woman, the sinner, thy sins are forgiven thee, or the man sick of the palsy. But the best evidence, or the evidence mostly, is that the Lord gives repentance, a change, a turning, and that evidence is the forgiveness. The two are joined together. So for those of you here, a longing, looking for forgiveness, has the Lord given you repentance? Has the Lord turned you away from love of sin and turned you to Him and turned you to his people and to his word. Then there is love. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. The free love of God to his people. Why does the Lord love any? I love thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. An everlasting love, no beginning, no end. And the effect is being drawn to him. It's one of the marks, isn't it, in John's epistles. We know that we have passed from death unto life, in that we love the brethren. And it is a sacred thing to really know it. Those are sacred times when it swells over one. I always remember one time after we'd had our ministers meeting in Clifton several years ago now, and we'd met as ministers just for prayer, driving back on the M1. And suddenly it came over me, oh, I so love those dear brethren. And you know, the tears flowed, I hardly knew how to drive home. I really felt such a love to the dear brethren. We don't always feel that, not in that way. But it's a lovely when you do. You love them for the truth's sake. You love them because you see the Lord's image on them. You love them because the Lord has loved you. And so you love the brethren. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples indeed, in that ye love one another. Freely ye have received, freely give. What about kindness? Kindness. It's a little thing, isn't it? But you know, this is what Ruth said concerning Boaz, that he had spoken kindly to her. What a big thing that is. And yet what a difference it makes. A stranger in a strange room, one that feels that they have done things wrong, and yet someone speaks kindly to them. Freely you have received, freely give. What about time? Time. Sometimes I've thought of the case of Jonah. He had to preach to that city that 40 days it would be destroyed. Was there any ray of hope in that message? What gave them the who can tell that God would turn and repent? Apart from Jonah himself being the sign to them, the Lord says that. The message from those mariners would be, there was a preacher coming to you to tell you that your city would be destroyed in 40 days, but we threw him into the sea and he's perished. But suddenly there he is preaching to them. What a shock. The Lord Jesus Christ, that deceiver, we've crucified him. He's killed, he's dead, he's finished. But what a shock. The disciples preaching with power, the dead raised, the sick healed, and thousands believing. And they testifying he's alive. A sign of Jonah. But one other aspect was they were given 40 days. If the Lord really was going to destroy them, he'd do it straight away. If the Lord had no intentions of saving and blessing mankind, he would have finished the human race with Adam and never given a promise of the seed of the woman. Where the Lord lengthens out our days, he gives us time. And never think, give me enough time and I'll repent, give me enough time and I'll reform myself. Given a million years, we never would do that. But the encouragement is that where there is life, there is hope. And where the Lord still gives us that time, it is that hope that day will come and that he will appear and he'll bless us. I look back in the days of my unregeneracy. I had serious bike accidents. I had narrow brushes with death. If I had died then there would have been no hope for me at all. In one sense, God's dear children are immortal until they are born again. They cannot die because they must be born again. They must be called by grace at God's appointed time. But may we never presume and think, well, we have. There's plenty of time. The Word exhorts us to seek Him today, while it is today. Never presume upon the time that the Lord gives. But we have a reminder with Noah, 120 years, you preacher of righteousness, and this day of grace, this time of preaching the Word, of setting forth the Word, freely have received. We have received that time. Occupy till I come. How do we use the time? But do we freely give? Do we give others time? Now the Lord has long patience with these people. Here a little, there a little. And sometimes it needs that we give others time. Time that we had. And don't expect that they perhaps do things or respond as quickly as what we think they should or we have done. Be like the Lord who freely gives time and what is actually needed. Noah used to be struck years ago going into the pilgrim home to see one of the staff helping one of those old residents get up from a chair or sit down. And they're stiff joints. And I think, what patience they've got. I think, I don't know whether I have that patience. How slowly they lowered them down. Or how slowly they brought them up. They knew they needed time. They couldn't be just, come on, get up, on your way. Freely have received, freely give. What about help? Having received help of God, says the apostle, I continue unto this present day. Send ye help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion. Have we been helped from the Lord? Are we in a position to help one another? Are we going to withdraw that help or not send that help when we're in a position to do it? Freely ye have received, freely give. As Christ laid down his life, even so ought we to lay down our lives for the brethren. Sometimes we might have a day packed full of things that we plan to do at home, but one of the brethren suddenly needs help, or a visit in the hospital, or taking to a doctor's appointment, and they call us and they ask us, and we've got to lay down our life so as to help them. Sometimes we might not be able to, but other times it is a sacrifice. We think other people have laid down their lives to help me, and now may I be able to help them. And then lastly, material blessings. It's one thing that's so evident in the New Testament church. When the Lord blessed the soul, he loosened their hands from material things. They sold their lands. They gave. They that had much, they gave so that they that had little did not lack. For those that tried to imitate that, Ananias and Sapphira struck down dead because they made out they gave the whole of the land value to the apostles, when in fact they're only giving half. But it is a very prominent feature of the New Testament. Those churches sending back to Jerusalem, those that had much, helping for those that had need. You have a collection that has been announced for today. And your pastors made the comment. They are persecuted now. They are in need now. It may come another time that we will be. And we will need help from others. But now we're in a position to help others. In the New Testament, that was so. And many letters of the apostles exhorted this, not to give above what they had, but to give freely and willingly. Having freely received, freely ye have received, freely give. So these aspects come in so many parts of a Christian life and pathway. Receiving from the Lord and then imparting it. And in doing so, proving the reality of what we have received ourselves. Our Lord told the parable of a man that came to his Lord. He owed 500 pence, and because he couldn't pay, demanded that he be sold and he be cast into prison. And he begged him to have mercy on him, and he forgave him all that debt. But that same man went, and he had one under his command that owed him a little bit. And he desired time and mercy, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't forgive him. Took him by the throat. Took him in prison. And the Lord held him to account. I forgave thee all that debt. And then this is what he had done. How severely the Lord dealt with him. Well, this is in one sense a practical word this evening. It's also a word that should exalt the freeness of the gospel and how it is understood, how the Lord blesses that word so freely, so abundantly, and so willingly, and without restraint. And it has its mirror and effect in his people. The Lord said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, ye shall find rest unto your souls. How have we learned Christ? How have we learned Christ in freely receiving from him? And does it affect us in freely giving, whether it be in our workplace, our home, our children, in the church of God, wherever we come, because we are to be the salt and light of the earth. And we can only be that salt and light of what God has given to us first, what we first have received, and then impart to others. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to these remarks and grant that we freely might receive and freely give.